Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners are warned that the following podcast program may contain stories, names and voices of deceased persons.
This is Outback Out Loud.
People and stories from Outback New South Wales.
Seeing my family on TV, seeing them sing, a bit teary. Yeah, nothing but love.
I have no regrets.
The people from the bush are real people. They're just wonderful people.
At a certain time of the afternoon, all these galahs come past and it's just beautiful.
If you've got time, pay Ningen a visit. Like, it's a great spot and we'd love to see you.
Yes. But Warren, it's just home. It's a beautiful little town.
I love Canamba because I'm here.
Outback Out Loud!
That's what I like.
This is Outback Out Loud Ningen.
What's going on at the Ningen Show? Let's catch up with Will, the Pavilion Steward, and hear from some of the locals too.
We have two trophies, the Nance Temple Trophy, the person who's won in three categories, knitwear, cooking and flowers. The winner this year is Dot Hicks. The winner of the Y Trophy is the person who's been successful in the whole pavilion, let's say. And then we have a new category, the Mervyn Burns Shield, which is the most successful in floral art. Dot Hicks has won both those trophies. And it's great too, because she's a... I don't remember her winning a lot of things before. A beautiful crocheted rug over there made out of pure wool, which is quite spectacular. My lad I look after put in some canners and he won best cut flower, cut best bloom, yeah, which I'm not pleased about. The biggest pumpkin, beautiful pumpkins. This pumpkin here, look at this. Just look at the orange glow in the flesh. It's just extraordinary. Thin-skinned. Orange right to the... So, yeah, they don't come much better than that.
Okay, my name's Patrick Greenalch. We're at the Ningen Show. We're just here doing a few sideshow games with my family. I'm a fifth-generation show person myself. It's been a while since I've been here, 2 or 3 years, but it's good to be back. I've got the Laughing Clowns, which have been in my family for 5 generations now. We've got the Catch-A-Fish game next door to us here, and just the old Ball in the Bucket game. And down a little bit further, we've got the pony rides that have been coming here for a long time as well. I travel all the way to the top of probably about the Cairns down to as low as Tasmania, in Hobart, Tasmania. Oh, there's lots of different things about a good country show. But we're here just to entertain the people and just to put smiles on families and children's faces. That's what we've come to the show to do. We're here to make money, of course, but as long as people go home happy and just remember it as a good experience.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Selena Ball-White. I live in Ningen for the last 11 years. I work at IJ. I've been working there for the last 10 years. I'm originally from Nepal. I got married with an Ningen man. Yes, I got 2 kids. For that reason, I always come here every year. Every year I come here for a Ningen show. I normally do take kids for a ride and I go for the shopping at the show bag. My daughter chose the mermaid and my son chose the mining craft. They really like friendly people and welcoming. I found like that. That's the main reason I'm still here. It's 11 years and I'm still here.
Stephen Reed, the ringmaster out at the show, controls the timing of all events. So there's 3 rings that continually go. The main one is the jumping. Then we've got A ring, which is for a lot of people do shows so they can get points to go to the Royal next year. So they compete in those ones. And the next one's pretty similar, but one might be for horses 15 hands and higher. The other one is under, so they're ponies. And then the next one is a no-coat ring for our area. So it'll cover Cobar, Burke, Ningen, Warren, Trangie. That's our area, and only our kids can compete in that area. Oh, show's a big thing for the community, I reckon.
Betsy Donoghue. And actually, I was born on a property out west of Cobar on the Louth Road on Gidgee. And my father delivered me. I was always very proud of that fact. My mother came from Adelaide. She left before she was married. She wanted to get married to Dad because the people from Ningen, the people on the station, used to have picnic race balls and all sorts of Catholic balls. And, well, I wasn't around then, but they were dressed to the nines, white tie and tails. And orchestra, they used to have two suppers. They'd come from miles around.
Next, Louise Lovett shares her poem about Ningen.
My name's Louise. I had a CWA competition I went in and had to write about your little town. I didn't win it, but I can read it to you. It's called My Little Town. This here little town sits gallantly on the edge of the bogan here. She's ridden some harsh times, but stands up strong and clear. For what is it that makes a community so strong and resilient to the core? I've lived here in many places. It's the people that live here for sure. It's a strength and can-do attitude of the people who live here at start. There's no way some of the city folk could withstand the challenges at heart. So it is a resilient folk that chooses the resilient way, that sees the pleasure in simple things each and every day. So when the real challenges come, this community is armed and ready to ride the tide of flood and drought and remain steadfast, strong and steady. So my little community of Ningen is resilient to the core. Those city folks could learn a lot in my little country town for sure.
Down at the Ningen local Aboriginal Land Council, finding out about some of the challenges faced by the Aboriginal community and how the Land Council supports so many people in the area.
People wouldn't let you in the shops or anything here one time.
But there was not, like, school in here, there was nothing discussed about Aboriginal people. There was nothing in education.
Aboriginal people went to school. There wasn't a lot, like the families. You all knew the families.
Yeah. All we learned about at school was Captain Cook. Nothing else about the true history of the community or Australia or anything else.
Mm-hmm. And you were made to feel ashamed of your identity.
Yep. Yeah. I know years ago, we lived out of town. I used to come into town, get the school bus in with the kids and that. They were only young. We lived out at Beetree then. And I used to get the bus in. We'd all go to the Overlander Hotel. That's Chinese, used to be there. And as soon as lunchtime come, they'd hunt us all out because the white fellas were coming in for lunch. So you just have to leave and come back at 2 o'clock when the lunches are finished. They wouldn't let us in the bar.
And when you look at the history in Ningen, a big massacre happened here from 1841 to 1842 along the Bowen River. Over 1,000 men, women and children were massacred.
Massacred here, hmm. There was a lot here went to the mission at Warrana.
The ones that got away used to run towards Warren.
They put them up on the mission at Bawarana, and they used to send them back here to work for people.
As slaves. As domestic servants.
Domestic servants. A lot of them
or
were raped.
Or farm hands.
A lot of them were raped and, you know, things like that happened.
That's where all the half-caste babies come from.
Mm-hmm. Even when they were in the army, they never got the right wages. A lot of them have gone back and been reimbursed. Some good people fought for all that.
Didn't get the same entitlement, a block of land and $1,000 to set them up.
Mm. We're at Ningen Local Aboriginal Land Council office. So we were established in 1983. Now I've been here 11 years. Wow, that went quick, didn't it?
Yeah.
We now do stuff with the schools, so cultural information sessions, workshops with the schools on Aboriginal artefacts. Raylene's been doing a lot with language throughout the community. We've got a walk we created last year. It's called Winanali Walk, which means to hear and to listen. So we're looking at going into the tourism side of doing cultural walks with different service providers, groups, and making some other connections through the tourism industry. We have meetings, community meetings here. We've created community protocols, which is We incorporated the Bogan Aboriginal Corporation and the local AECG for our own Aboriginal protocols that we expect government agencies to adhere to. We look after land.
Housing.
Housing. So we've got our fingers in many pies, trying to change the community input of how Aboriginal people are and what we're about. We're not just, the perception they see.
We work with Mission Australia and all them as well.
We fought to get the doctors, and we had the doctors here for nearly 12 months. In the first week, they diagnosed 3 cancers.
Not very good.
Of clients, so that was good because I was early and they got treatment. So it was pretty full on the first sessions. And then 2021, we applied for the Centrelink contract. So now in our building next door, we have Centrelink running for community. And we've put a worker on in there, and during COVID was just a godsend for community to have it, setting up elderly people's accounts and email addresses and MyGov accounts, and just having that service was good.
Even have literacy or numeracy, poor skills, it's hard. Like, and people don't understand that. They need someone there face-to-face, being able to help and support them with their documentation.
You got the driving instructor's course out here?
Oh, yeah. We have a driving instructor comes out and does community programs. But going back to, we noticed it when COVID hit, how many people were stranded and didn't have access to their MyGovs or didn't have access to internet services or mobile phones. So we set it up accounts for people, and that's just because they had no other way option. So when we get their account set up, we go in and change it all and put it to their home addresses. We found a lot of clients just... stressed over that. And it wasn't just Aboriginal clients. We've seen a lot of non-Aboriginal people as well.
Even with the digital COVID vaccination certificate that they needed just to walk into a shop. Was a nightmare.
The Service New South Wales office two doors up would say, sorry, we can't help you because we're not allowed to do face-to-face. You'll have to get someone else. So they left their office and would come to us and say, can you please help? And we'd be in tears. Two of us in there, one would be setting up their email addresses while the other one's on the phone to Service Australia trying to get linking codes and passwords, and we're like, don't hang up, here's the next ID, don't hang up, here's the next ID. And we just had a process down between the two of us in there trying to get everyone sorted. Our big event usually is NAIDOC for the year, so NAIDOC brings our community together. Well, we make sure it brings our community together as best we can. So we usually have a big opening day. We used to have it at council, but we're moving it to our Winanelli walk. The schools all have a showcase day where they get to showcase Aboriginal culture and art and craft and games and things like that. And then we have a community day at the river. In the last couple of years, we've just taken it back to kids have swimming races and running races and games and tattoos and art. And
me decorate the windows. You decorate the windows for everything that's on every...
If there's anything important events coming up, usually we decorate our windows, so that's a good focus point. We copped a lot of comments about it when we put up Black Lives Matter, so we copped a fair bit then. We did make connections with the police and asked to do a barbecue and bring everyone together, but that never ever happened because to them it's not important, but to us it is.
Let's catch up with local entrepreneur Jeff and find out more about his cafe, Gundog Espresso.
My name's Jeff. I recently moved here 6 months ago from the Hawkesbury, where I went reserves from the Air Force. I just bit the bullet and opened my own business, Gundog Espresso. The first time I came out was pretty much February, and there was a massive mouse plague. It was a bit scary the first time, and then the mice went away every time I came out, there was less and less, so that was probably the hardest part. And then I came out during winter and I was pretty much sold. Everyone already knows who I am. They already know the house we bought. They know everything about you essentially before you even step foot out of your car. So it was a bit strange. The first week I made friends with a couple that regularly come, and they started making dog treats, and we have 2 GSPs, so they brought over dog treats. But I just got a random text from a random number, and it said, I've left these on your front door. And, coming from the Hawkesbury, like living in a small community but still no one knew where I lived, it was a bit of a culture shock to to have someone rock up to your front door to leave dog treats after meeting them for the first time maybe 3 or 4 days before. I'm definitely not a local. But yeah, I think it's pretty okay. My partner was out here for 5 years before I moved out here, so I think I was about 16 and I was working for Danny Young, who owns Espresso Potero in, well, maybe it's not Espresso, maybe it's just Potero. He owns Potero in a small country town called McLean. So he taught me how to make coffee, and then I was pretty much thrown in the deep end when a couple of friends opened a cafe in Yamba. And then from there I went to uni, worked through cafes, finished uni, started bar work, then moved to London, got a job with a chain called Fernandez and Wells, and pretty much helped them set up from scratch 5 different cafes all throughout London. Then I moved back to Australia and thought, nah, coffee's not for me, so I'm going to join the Air Force. Joined the Air Force, loved it, saw the entire world, drank coffee everywhere, and then, yeah, it was pretty much given the option to move further away to get 4 different connecting flights and then still have a 2-hour drive to get here. So I chose to just bite the bullet and open my own cafe, and it's worked out well. I would never have been able to do this in the city. Like, there's absolutely no chance. The cost alone, like, out here is insane. Like, if anybody ever wants to make a start for themselves or start a company or a business or anything, it would be the perfect space. People are not just going down the road of, I want to open a coffee shop because there's no coffee here. I feel it's people jumping on board and saying, what makes a good coffee? How do you extract that perfect shot? How many seconds do you have to pull it for? How many grams, how many mils of water go through? I think people are more honing in on those skills and not just, oh, I'll wait till my service tech comes and we'll just go with the long flow and get it. So I think out here people realize when there's good coffee and also realize when there's bad coffee. People out here are honing into their skills more. I think the community is pretty good. That's probably one of my favorite. The characters, there are definitely some characters. My favorite, probably the river would be the best part, especially getting on kayaks and going up it. I don't know, it's more of a lifestyle out here than living in the city, being able to get out and do things because you're on your own time. I'm late, oh sorry. People don't really mind.
Wendy Beetson is at the Community Hub. Check out the amazing work she does around Ningen.
My name's Wendy Beetson. I'm the coordinator of the Ningen Community Hub. The hub is a first point of contact for people to come and get some information, advice or referral. It's a friendly, welcoming space for anybody to come in. And I also run community engagement events and some social inclusion activities throughout the year as well. So it's a lovely job. I really enjoy it. And it's nice to be able to interact with the community and help them when they need it. It was December 2020, and it was the first year of COVID. And I wanted to do something different for Christmas, and I was hoping to have a community Christmas tree in the park across the road from the hub. And because the community Christmas tree was going to, the cost for a big tree was out of the hub's reach, and I was also concerned about safety aspects for the tree, I got my thinking cap on and I decided to take a Christmas tree out to the community. So I purchased a furniture dolly, which is on wheels, and I decorated a Christmas tree, put it on the furniture dolly, and I pulled it up and down the main street of Ningen, getting photos with everyone, and pasted them all over the hub Facebook page. So I'd be pulling the tree in 30 degree heat. It was very hot doing it, but I had enormous fun. I'd be pulling it across the road and people would be beeping the horn and waving. I've got a fabulous photo of all the butchers. I got them all to come out the front of the shop, all in their butcher's aprons. And I'd go into the supermarkets and take photos. I'd stop people in the street. everybody loved having their photo taken with the Community Hub Christmas tree. It was great fun and something different, and it just lightened everybody's mood. So it's a bit hard to know what to do next. It might have a resurrection, but I'm always trying to do things differently and make it fun for people to interact. Got so many likes and all those things, and it was a lot of fun for me, even though it was extremely hot. But it really did. People were just loved it, and so I was really pleased I did it. And I don't know if anybody else has done that, but I highly recommend, if the people can't come to the tree, take the tree to them. I thought Ningen should have a Spoonville. You know how all the in the COVID, lot of cities were having Spoonvilles. Well, it was an idea that was conceived probably in England somewhere, and it was like decorating wooden spoons, putting them in a public place, like dressing them up as people, and then community members would add to that. So I thought, we need a Ningen Spoonville. So mine was a Spoonville with a difference. I did a workshop with children and got them to decorate all these wooden spoons, and then we took them to the hospital and put them on display in one of the internal garden beds at the hospital for the residents to enjoy during the week between Christmas and New Year, because most of them couldn't get out. So that's how Spoonville come to Ningen.
Thanks for listening. To hear more amazing stories from Outback New South Wales, check out the whole Outback Out Loud series, now streaming everywhere.
We acknowledge and celebrate the first Australians on whose traditional lands we meet and work, and whose cultures are among the oldest continuing cultures in human history. Please like, subscribe, rate us, and write a review. The Outback Out Loud podcast was designed and produced by Signal Creative and is a collaboration between Signal Creative and Outback Arts. The Outback Out Loud community project and workshop series was designed and facilitated by Signal Creative. These episodes are the result of recordings and interviews collected by Signal Creative and community participants. You can find Signal Creative at signalcreative.net and Outback Arts at outbackarts.com.au, and you can find both of us on Facebook and Instagram. Audio production, sound and music design by Emma Hoy. Community liaison, research and editing by Caroline Wallace.